Think. Level 3. Published by Cambridge University Press, 2015. This recording is copyright. Literature 3A. The Hound of the Baskervilles by Arthur Conan Doyle. Exercise 2.
Dr. Mortimer refolded his paper and replaced it in his pocket. Those are the public facts, Mr. Holmes, in connection with the death of Sir Charles Baskerville. I must thank you, said Sherlock Holmes, for calling my attention to a case which certainly presents some features of interest. This article, you say, contains all the public facts?
It does.
Then let me have the private ones.
In doing so, said Dr. Mortimer, I am telling that which I have not confided to anyone. My motive for withholding it from the coroner's inquiry is that a man of science shrinks from placing himself in the public position of seeming to endorse a popular superstition. I thought that I was justified in telling rather less than I knew, since no practical good could result from it. But with you, there is no reason why I should not be perfectly frank. The moor is very sparsely inhabited, and those who live near each other are thrown very much together. For this reason, I saw a good deal of Sir Charles Baskerville. Sir Charles was a retiring man, but the chance of his illness brought us together, and a common interest in science kept us so. Within the last few months, it became increasingly plain to me that Sir Charles's nervous system was strained to breaking point. He had taken this legend, which I have read you, exceedingly to heart, so much so that, although he would walk in his own grounds, nothing would induce him to go out upon the moor at night. The idea of some ghastly presence constantly haunted him, and he asked me whether I had on my medical journeys at night ever seen any strange creature or heard the baying of a hound. I can remember driving up to his house in the evening 3 weeks before the fatal event. He chanced to be at his hall door. I was standing in front of him when I saw his eyes fix themselves over my shoulder and stare past me with an expression of the most dreadful horror. I whisked round and had just time to catch a glimpse of something which I took to be a large black animal passing at the head of the drive. So excited and alarmed was he that I was compelled to go down to the spot where the animal had been and look around for it. It was gone, and the incident appeared to make the worst impression upon his mind. I stayed with him all evening, and it was on that occasion that he confided to my keeping that narrative which I read to you when first I came. I mention this small episode because it assumes some importance in view of the tragedy which followed, but I was convinced at the time that the matter was entirely trivial and that his excitement had no justification. On the night of Sir Charles's death, Barrymore the butler, who made the discovery, sent Perkins the groom on horseback to me, and I was able to reach Baskerville Hall within an hour of the event. I checked all the facts which were mentioned at the inquest. I followed the footsteps down the yew alley. I saw the spot at the moor gate where he seemed to have waited. I remarked the change in the shape of the prints after that point. I noted that there were no other footsteps save those of Barrymore on the soft gravel, and finally, I carefully examined the body, which had not been touched until my arrival. Sir Charles lay on his face, and his features twisted with some strong emotion to such an extent that I could hardly have sworn to his identity. There was certainly no physical injury of any kind. But one false statement was made by Barrymore at the inquest. He said that there were no traces upon the ground round the body. He did not observe any. But I did, some little distance off,
but fresh and clear.
Footprints?
Footprints. A man's or a woman's?
Dr. Mortimer looked strangely at us for an instant, and his voice sank almost to a whisper as he answered.
Mr. Holmes, they were the footprints of a gigantic hound.